Okay, everybody, please stand up right now. Yeah, we are going to do a scripture reading here this morning. This will be our main scripture. We're going to point out some other ones throughout our time. This one is found on page 1660. It's Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. It'll be on the screen, but you can look it up on page 1660 in the New International Bible. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is God's word. You can be seated. It is so hard to wait. It is so hard to wait. Let me define waiting. Waiting is patient endurance. Say it together. Waiting is patient endurance. One more time. Waiting is patient endurance. It is so hard to wait. For kids, it's hard for kids to wait. Isn't it? It's hard for kids to wait. Like this picture here. Isn't that hard to wait? You see those presents under the tree? You just want to rip that paper off, see what's under there, see what's hidden. But you want to go before the time, the right time. That's children do, right? Not us older people, more mature people. No, let me be honest with you. I don't like to wait for things. I don't like waiting. I was in the post office a few weeks ago. I haven't been to the post office in years. And then I got asked to go to the post office and mail something and ship something. Like, okay. So I headed on over to the post office and I got in there early, just after it opened. And guess what? There were two people before me in line. And I looked in dismay. I could just feel it. I could feel the antsiness inside of me. And I was looking at my watch, and I know I had to appear just like very frustrated and impatient. And here's the reality. It only took 5 minutes, and the people were done and out. But if you'd looked at me or you knew my heart, you'd thought it took the whole morning in order to get through it. So I know, though, that I'm not the only one that struggles with waiting here. And you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to admit. But I think there's more people in this room or more people watching that struggle with waiting. What makes it hard to wait? What makes it hard for you to wait? I want you to think about that today. Well, for me, one big thing is this, a desire for control. I want to control situations. I usually have busy days. I plan a heavy schedule. And I'm a self-directed leader. And so I don't like things that are out of my control. It annoys me. It bothers me. And so, and here's another way that it happens, is sometimes like I come home from work, and Brenda, my wife, she comes home from work, and she shares with me an experience she had at work or a problem that she had at her work. And there's just times when I could just feel in my heart, I don't want to listen to her. I don't want to listen about that. I don't want to take the time for empathy. You know, I can kind of see, here's the solution to her problem. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I just want to share that and be done with it. Well, what makes it hard for you to wait? For some people, it's fear. They have a hard time waiting. They have a hard time with patient endurance because of fear. What is unknown? What could happen? Maybe that's you. It could be facing a diagnosis. You're waiting to hear back from the doctor. There was a lump or something, and now there was a biopsy, and you're waiting, and it's just there's fear there, and you don't want to wait. Or a court date, maybe. Or about a job. A big one for me in this area of fear is my children. I want things to go well for them. And when things aren't going well, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, I can have fear, and it just hinders my ability to wait. It's hard to wait, but I want you to catch something today. Waiting is spiritual. Say it with me. Waiting is spiritual. It is deeply spiritual. Look what it says in the 27th Psalm. The 27th Psalm, just a little phrase here, a little verse. It says this, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And then repetition, wait for the Lord. This is a theme in the Bible. And it's there because God wants to do something in you. He wants to do something in me. He wants to do something in you when you're held back, when things aren't kind of progressing like you want them to, like you think they should, or when we're in the valley of the unknown. Do you know that valley? When you don't know what's going to go down, you don't know what's going to happen. You're right where God wants you. He wants to do something in you when you're in the valley of the unknown. So here's what we're going to learn today. Here's our main point, and it comes from that passage, the earlier one that we read. God's perfect timing teaches us to wait on the Lord. We're going to talk about today how God's timing is perfect. And that teaches us something. It shows us something. It shows us that we can wait on the Lord. It teaches us to wait on the Lord. So I'm going to ask three questions. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Like, what is that? What's that? How do you define that concept? Then another one here is, what happens when you wait on the Lord? What will happen to you? What will go down in your life if you wait on the Lord? And lastly, we'll end with, how do I learn to wait on the Lord? It's something I've been working on a long time, so I have some things to say. So what does it mean to wait on the Lord? Here's the first point here today. Waiting on the Lord means trusting God's timing. Waiting on the Lord means trusting God as a person, as a relatable being, trusting Him and His timing. That's what it means. God makes promises. In the Bible, if you take time to study the Bible, you will see just promise after promise after promise after promise in the Bible. God makes promises all over in His Word. And every one of those promises is an opportunity to wait on the Lord. It's an opportunity to learn to trust Him and to learn to trust His timing to fulfill these promises. So we go back to that first verse in the Galatians passage. It says, when the set time had come, when the set time had come, another translation says it this way, when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son. There it is. Okay, so this is let's talk about this promise that is attached to this passage, because it goes way back to the beginning of the Bible. If you look at the Bible, we're in the Galatians here. So we're in the New Testament. There's not much left. If you go way to the front, you have Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and that's where we go. That's where That's where the promise is first shared. The promise that is being fulfilled here at Christmas time. And as we reflect back, So Genesis 3:15, the third chapter in the Bible, is where God promises a coming rescuer. Someone who will come, who will deliver His people, God's people, that He will deliver them. And so then from that point on, from Genesis chapter 3 and on, that promise, the promise of God is reiterated over and over again. It's more fully developed as you go through the Bible, and it's clarified. So let me give you some examples here. The first one is Abraham. Abraham was told in Genesis 12:1, he's a 75-year-old man, and he's told, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Not like go to this location, go to this address that we would type into our GPS and get there. Go to the land I will show you. Just start heading in that direction and then I'll make it clear later. And then by the way, along the way, you're going to have a child. He's never had a child. He's 75 years old. And your child, this child, is going to bless all the nations in the world. And so Abraham is told that. And so what does Abraham do? He moves forward in obedience. Without knowing all the answers, he trusted God without having all the details. And this is one of the hardest things that you will ever do in life, is trusting God when his plan is not fully revealed. It's trusting him when not all of the details are laid out. That's what Abraham did. He waited on the Lord because he trusted God, and he trusted his timing. He wasn't perfect at it, and we could get into that at another time. Okay, now let's go to David. So here's another example of trusting God and his timing. David came, did you know this, like 1,000 years after Abraham? So a good chunk of time. So David came like 1,000 years after Abraham, and David was told the promise that one of his descendants would reign over an everlasting kingdom. I mean, that would be like me telling you, your son is going to lead the greatest company, going to lead Amazon someday, you know, as if Amazon is in any comparison to the kingdom of God, right? Or your daughter is going to do this great thing. It would be like, oh, wow, that is going to be cool. That is going to be awesome. But guess what? Things didn't seem to be going that way. Things in David's life didn't seem to be going that way. As a matter of fact, he fell into sinfulness, David did. We actually studied this earlier this year. If you go back to our YouTube channel or Facebook, you can see the different talks that we did on the life of David. But things didn't seem to be going that way, that things were getting better. I mean, he fell into sin. He didn't lead his family well. He was a great military leader, but he wasn't a great father. He had all kinds of issues in his family. And his family fell into complete family chaos. There was a brother raped a sister. Another brother killed another brother. There was sedition in his family trying to overthrow him. Things were a mess. But David did not lose sight of the promise of God. Have you? Have you lost sight of the promise of God that he has for you, that he has in your life? David wrote a song. I can kind of prove this because David wrote a song. He was a songwriter. He was a great military man, but a songwriter. The 145th Psalm, it's on page 898. You can put your finger in it or write it down. By the way, if you want the notes, it's right there. Just text Genesis and put notes and we'll send them back to you. But he wrote a song, and this song, it demonstrates his unwavering hope in God's promise that he could trust God and trust God's timing, regardless of present difficulties. And this is, I'll just read one verse 13. He says, this as an old man, he says, the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. You see, he was waiting on the Lord because he trusted God's integrity. And he trusted his timing. Do you? Do you today in whatever you're facing? So Isaiah came about 300 years after David. Isaiah, he was a prophet. It's a big book in the Bible. It's really thick. About 300 years after David. Terrible time in ancient Israel. Israel is being taken into exile. And Isaiah foretold of the promised one. And he prophesied, he foretold of this promised one being a man and God. This is, you know, several hundred years before Christ. He prophesied the incarnation. That's the name of our series that we're in right now. We're just looking at how the incarnation, that belief that Christians have, how it impacts our life. And of course, the incarnation is this belief that God became human by taking on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. He entered the world fully God and fully man to reveal God's nature. But going back to that Isaiah, this chapter 9, verse 6, it's found on page 984 if you want to look it up. And this is a famous passage. If you've been around church at Christmas time, you've heard this. This is what he foretold. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then guess what happened after that, after Isaiah prophesied those words? 400 years of silence is what happened. Did you know that? That's the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Call it the intertestamental time. From Malachi to John the Baptist, the next prophet. 400 years. No prophetic word in Israel. Can you imagine it? A time of waiting. But many of those people in that time, they did. They waited on the Lord because they trusted God. Let me just tell you, you're going to be tempted. You already have been, but let's just talk about going forward. You will be tempted to do the opposite of waiting on the Lord. You will be tempted. You will be tempted to force situations. It may be waiting for a wayward adult child to return to God. But instead of waiting on the Lord, you get forceful. You get in somebody's face. And it's not going anywhere good. It's just you grabbing the steering wheel. Or maybe you want a spouse. You've been waiting and waiting and nothing is happening. God is silent. He is quiet. And maybe you decide you're going to do something about it. And so you begin to compromise. You begin to settle for less. I just want to urge you, trust God. Trust His timing. Wait on the Lord. Let's move on to this next question. What happens when you wait on the Lord? What happens when you do that? When you wait on the Lord, here's the second point, the second and last point. When you wait on the Lord, you are rewarded with the fullness of His plan. When you wait on the Lord, you are rewarded with the fullness of His plan. Let me show you something important today, and it's this. I'm going to say it this way. God's timing is impeccable. Impeccable. What does that mean? It means without fault. It means perfect. Impeccable. God's timing is impeccable. Impeccable timing is something that happens at the most perfect or most opportune moment. Okay, picture this. Your team is tied. It's a football game. And there's 2 seconds left in the game. And the kicker comes out. And the kicker waltzes on the field and kicks the ball through the uprights for 3 points. And then the time goes out and the Lions win the football game. Okay? Now, I just want to say this. I have a heart for Packers fans. A very small part of my heart is for Packers fans. But I don't want you to miss the main point here. Do you see the timing and how perfect the timing was of that glorious field goal? Or here's another one. Let's go to a different example. So it's 6 p.m. and everybody's hungry. There's a lot of hangriness going around, and Dad pulls from the oven the pizza just in time. It's perfect timing, impeccable timing. Let's look at God's impeccable timing. Let me read this, Galatians 4, 4 through 5 again. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Why was this the best time? Why was it impeccable timing? Historians have written about this, by the way. And in the notes, I have an example of a book that you could look at that I used to have in my library read years ago by Rodney Stark. Have you ever heard of Rodney Stark? He's a historian who writes about Christianity. And he wrote The Rise of Christianity. And he talks about three conditions, three historical conditions that were going on at the time Christ was born that made that timing perfect. Let me just quickly give them to you. The first one is this: the Roman Empire was in place. The Roman Empire was a very brutal kingdom and murderous and all that, but at this point in time, it had developed a unified political structure. And what happened in the period of time was what's called the Pax Romana. Have you heard of that before? Which means the Roman peace. A period of relative peace and stability. So that was a big piece right there. And then another part of the Roman Empire was the infrastructure that had been developed. There was actually roads now. And developed roads and maintained roads and shipping routes, which enabled travel, more consistent travel, which connected distant parts so that the gospel could be shared. And we see that through the book of Acts. Actually, we're going to be studying the book of Acts this coming year, so I encourage you to keep on coming. But you'll just see how missionaries went out all over the ancient world. And so that was a piece. And here's another part of it that Stark writes about, is the Greek language created widespread communication. Because of Alexander the Great, like 300 years earlier, where he was going out conquering all these places, and he brought Greek culture, Hellenism, he brought the Greek language. So there was a widespread communication. It was the lingua franca of the day. Like English is kind of the language of the world today, the business language of the world. The Greek, Koine Greek, was the language of that day. And it allowed for the communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ to get the word out into every nook and cranny. And then another condition was the Jewish people who had been dispersed. We call them the diaspora. Because of the exiles, because of the taking away and deported by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, Jewish people were displaced. God's people were displaced all over the ancient world. And so there were little communities all over that were looking for the promised one. And so all these factors bring it together. So just think about this. This isn't just a random act like, okay, yeah, right now is a good time. It was perfectly aligned in history. So when you wait on the Lord, part of the reward is his impeccable timing. When you choose to wait, you're going to get his timing, his best, not your best, but God's best. So the other one is, so there's timing, impeccable timing, and then the other one I want to point out that's a reward is the thoroughness of God's plan. You get a thorough plan. You get a comprehensive plan. You get a plan that endures. Have you ever noticed how sometimes our plans don't endure? I've noticed it of myself. I get an idea, and I run ahead sometimes, and I start to implement it, and it lasts a little bit of time, and then it's done. But God's plan isn't like that. His plan is comprehensive. His plan is enduring. And in this passage, let's look at the last part of the verses there. Put that passage back up there, the whole passage, please. Verse 5. To redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. And then it goes on to talk about what all that means. So there's two words there that show how comprehensive God's plan is, God's promises are. So redeem, what does that mean? It's liberation. God's plan is to liberate you, to liberate me. Redemption is the very act of buying us back from the bondage of sin. That's what God does through Jesus Christ. Christ comes into the world, and we looked at this last week, and he offers himself as a substitutionary atonement. He substitutes himself for us and makes amends for our sins, and that completes that transaction there. And it's kind of like this. It's like the devil is in the details. I was just thinking this, that here's this plan. Oh yeah, son's going to come, but the details are he becomes a substitute. He makes atonement. He makes us just by him dying in our place. And so we see God's plan. It's complete. It's comprehensive. And then the adoption part of this. Adoption is, in this case, it's not just merely a legal status, a legal change, but it's our invitation into the family of God. You might be here today and you know nothing of this, but if you're willing to receive Christ and to admit your sin and believe in him and commit your life to him, you are brought into the family of God. You see, God doesn't just save us from our sins. He invites us into family. And that's what those verses a little bit later that we read a little earlier are talking about. Abba, Father, which is a very intimate way. It's Arabic, Aramaic, excuse me. And it's just basically saying, you know, very loving language to the Father. It's not this, like, God's up there, I'm down here, and there's a separation, you know, there's relational closeness there. So the reward of waiting on the Lord includes stepping into this identity, this new identity as beloved children. So not only do we have freedom through redemption, but belonging and purpose. And that's why at the end there it says verse 7 that we read earlier, so you are no longer a slave to sin or a slave in any way, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So here's the conclusion. I'm going to have Zach and Dan Hasty come up here. Here's the conclusion. How do I learn to wait on the Lord? Maybe you're doing the mental calculus and it's like, yeah, that's what I need. I need to learn how to do that. I need to bring that into my life. I'm grabbing the steering wheel. I'm doing things the way I want to do them. And so how do I do that? And it's this. Cultivate unwavering trust in God. And that's something that you work on. That's something that you work at, is cultivating a trust in God that's unwavering, where you can look directly at what's before you and not have suspicion, not have doubt. So here's these are the next steps as well. We'll put them up there as our next steps here. We want to encourage you to take a step here today. So two of the things we want you to encourage you to work into your life. The first one is this, depending on God's guidance. This is a way to cultivate unwavering trust in God, is to depend on God's guidance. Where do we hear God's guidance? We hear it from his word. We hear it from personally studying God's word, having a personal plan. And there's so many different plans, and we could help you with that if you have interest. There's so many ways to do that, but where we're before God's word, we're hearing his promises, we're discovering the new ones we didn't even know about. Another way to depend on God's guidance is by putting yourself under God's teaching at church, in the congregation. There's just something about that. And sometimes that's a low priority. Since we have so many other things to do, they're so more important, right? But what God's word tells us, like being in the assembly with the body of Christ, face to face, hearing God's word and wrestling with it in this place. Being in a group where you can hear what other people are hearing from God's word. What it says to them. What God's doing in them, and it gives you a freshness and it wakes you up to what God may be doing. Here's another way to depend on God's guidance is you seek out specifically an area of your life that you're struggling with. Maybe you're struggling with lust. Maybe you're struggling with the desire of having a baby or a spouse. And you look at where does God touch on some of these topics? And then you memorize a verse or you bring that teaching into your life. Is this something you need to do? I mean, we're coming into 2025 here pretty soon, the way I understand it. And it's a time to start something new. And maybe that's it. Here's the last one here. Stepping out in faith without knowing the full plan. Stepping out in faith. Believing God. He wants me to live a certain way. I'm going to live a certain way. He wants me to give some of my resources. He says, give. I'm going to give. And you actually do it. You don't just think about it. You don't just talk about it. Many Christians in our culture, we know way, way more than we practice out. And so maybe it's even better to just like not know more, but just start practicing more. Because then you will know more. And that's just a gentle encouragement. I'm going to ask Dan Hasty. He's one of our elders. Love him very much. He's going to pray. I'm going to invite you to stand up right now. We want to pray to the Lord petitionarily for his help as we desire to trust him more.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and this time where we can come together and hear from your word, hear from Norm, who's speaking your words to us today and helping us understand how we need to live our lives according to your word. We thank you for example after example in the Bible of men and women who waited on you, whose timing and whose plan was not their own plan, but was your plan, God. It's so hard sometimes to see in front of us. What we want to do isn't the way, Lord. We want to wait on you, and we want your way to be our way. And so many times, Lord, I know I fail in that. I push forward and do my own thing, and I ask for forgiveness for the times that I've done that, and ask for your guidance and directions and your leading in my own life when I try to do my own plan and not your plan, Lord. But I thank you for your word. Help us to be in your word, to see the examples, to be able to focus our lives the way you want us to live, to be patient, to wait when we need to wait, to step out in faith when we need to step out in faith and to take that risk, or to wait. Lord, your timing is perfect. Our timing is not. So give us courage to do that today, this week, this month. Help us to be in tune with you daily so that we can hear from you as to what you want us to do in our lives. So we thank you for this time this morning. Help us to go from here and apply these things to our lives. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. If you or someone you know needs prayer, our prayer teams are going to be up at the front here. They would love to pray with you this morning. Have a blessed day today.